how death, the serpent becomes the way.
Well, we were thinking about that, the feet and the devil, right? But we didn't.
How sometimes it has legs, sometimes it doesn't. Carl has found the page with that head.
61.
And there it has many legs.
Is it image 61?
Yes. It's a later incarnation.
It's after the
29.
One. Yeah. But it seems to be the same.
You're calling it a death cell.
Right. And here.
The yellow spike.
He's got a crest.
A little beginning of a spike.
Yeah.
It's image number 61? Okay.
Here's the view.
There we go.
Yeah, that's the same face.
Mm-hmm. And there it is associated with the egg again, mm-hmm. as with our tree. And there is in the runes the symbol of the moon, which in this case are the horns of the
mm-hmm.
The lunar horns mm-hmm. are in supporting the egg business, mm-hmm. whatever's going on. So the theme continues, really. There's the unity of the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And all those creative forces are in the mm-hmm. the fire tree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to do this. So, I slide. Anybody remember where we were?
135, I think.
135.
Go Slide Navigator. That's my title.
Slide Navigator. Where's that?
The one right above. Is that where you want to be? No.
Oh, you can't do it.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's see. Try it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
What'd you say it was, Cassie?
135. Is that right?
No.
It was
235. Well, yeah, there's a slide number and then there's the
page
number.
Right. I was going slide number, sorry.
You have a slide 10.
We're getting there. Keep going.
It was 240-something.
There you go. 226. There you go.
Yeah, it doesn't crash. So, what image? I'm going to make it out here. What image was that?
Image 135, but page
226. But the earlier
226.
One.
226. 226 was the slide number.
Was 226 for the other one, huh?
No.
61 was.
Slide number 61 or picture 61?
Oh, no, it's on
page
book.
Image 61.
Image. Okay, image 61.
It was page 61.
Yeah.
But I don't know what slide number was.
Usually you pick one side.
Yeah.
It'll say at the top.
We're confused.
No, but his slide on his
card. I'll find it. I just want to keep track of where we're. Okay, is that enough on there, or you want to say more?
Did we say that it's shaped like
an egg? An egg, yeah.
Yeah, he says it's incubating. Didn't he say that?
Could we have the lights, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know where I read that.
But it is in, it's like within the world egg.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we're going to start looking at cycles. That's a new idea, I think. It's the first time we've had cycles, isn't it? Cycle is the self again.
So can we say this is occurring in him individually and as collective, and a collective image too? What's happening collectively in the world?
Well, certainly it shows it's possible to happen collectively in the world, I would say. I don't think it's happened.
Oh, okay.
He's ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But these three things that he says come out of chaos, war, religion, and magic, those could be happening in the individual and in the collective at large, so that the wars are part of this process.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I do think our fight with Islam is conceived as opposites confronting one another in enmity or attracting one another in love. I'm just saying, Germany, we hated them. What? 70 years ago. Japan, we hated them. And now they're making our cars.
Supporting our economy.
Supporting our economy, making better cars than we do. I have a Honda, I was out at the Honda shop. I had to get some paint or something, maybe touch-up paint. And the guy, I said, well, you have such and such. He says, well, I don't know. And he says, oops, the Japanese won't like me talking like that. He looked it up and found it. Look at the interchange, you know, from war to another attitude working on some guy in the part shop at Honda. I bet you if he went to an American car dealer, that would be, I don't know where it is, and that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right, Kat, if you put it that way. Now, I think we're going to keep hearing these same ideas. If you look at the second set of quotes after that, the next set of quotes after those three segments. The far poles are separated by the poles in between. See, same idea. Middle way. Day approaches and above the clouds a distant sun. So suddenly he's not the sun anymore. No solitary cooks healing potions. The four winds blow and laugh at their bounty. So if you don't work on the inner process, you become at the mercy of the spirit of the times. And then we have that. I don't know if that's so dramatic or not. But.
What's image
136.
Well, if we turn the light off, I can only think it's noticeable. There's that earth in the center that was above the solitary head, and that whole structure is the astrological symbol for the earth.
Is it?
The circle with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And just from my perspective, one of the first dream I ever had about Jung, where he spoke to me in a dream, that image was really important. That astrological symbol for the earth.
Is that it? What is the astrological symbol for the earth?
It is... a circle with a cross in the middle. And here he's added this. Which
to clarify.
There.
Right.
So he put the earth within the astrological symbol.
Explicating it.
Yeah, putting a, emphasizing double.
Yeah, for my taste, it could mean, you know, all this stuff he's saying is of no importance if you can't start with the difficult issues of your life. You might say with the shadow. But shadow in the sense of where your personal life is lived out in time and space, sometimes with success, sometimes with distress, sometimes with failure. That's what the two opposites are made of. I say that because, you know, I hear contemporary Jungians talk. It's like all about images and archetypes and the soul. But if it's not starting here, so what? It makes no difference in the way you live.
Fun to fly with the fairies.
It's a lot more fun to fly with the fairies. Until they consider you extra mitten, poop you on the town.
Exactly.
And then you know, it's all in red and black. You're black on the earth and the red and the blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's what gives us constant and gives us shadow that we bring to heaven.
Yes. Good. Thanks.
Which, and then if you think of the tree, that is connecting with that person.
And so that our shadow is the starting point.
Yeah. Our shadows become something sacred.
If you can transform it.
What did you say the other day to me? Something about your sins.
Oh, you can't be forgiven of sins you didn't commit. No,
it was the other day. That young sin, something about you had to offer your sins and your successes to... They couldn't forsake your sins.
Well, it's possible to miss your final guilt as well as your final happiness.
Yes.
It's just as possible to miss your final guilt as it is to miss your final happiness. I love that quote. In other words, you've got to make mistakes along the way. And if you think a mistakeless life is the good life, you'll never live.
And who was, his shadow was
Voltaire.
And he said on his deathbed, you know, the priest asked him, like, do you regret your sins? Oh, yes, especially the ones I didn't commit. That's great. That's a great way to kind of...
Same idea.
Voltaire,
he's a young
shadow.
Oh, okay.
And he had a bust of him
outside
his...
You know about him was his shadow?
Okay.
Yeah, he had a bust of him outside his office door, apparently.
Super rationalist, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked him why. He said, "So I never forget who my shadow is."
So when we get to the next section, the cross, it's this cross he's talking about, and not the Christian cross.
Well, I hadn't thought of that. But let's see.
Well, his historiated initial is pretty much a portrait of that cross, I guess.
Oh.
Turn it off again for a second. Let's have a look at...
I've got my spinning shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And the D is very serpent-like.
Yeah? Well, you put a new idea into my head. The only problem I have is there's a crucified one on that cross.
Could it be both?
Could be both. I saw the black serpent.
Mm-hmm.
As it wound itself upward around the wood of the cross, it crept into the body of the crucified and emerged again, transformed from his mouth. Yeah, let's work with that. I think you're on this element. And it may not be as contradictory as I thought. Anyone want to try to play with that?
So the dark element is added to the path of salvation.
Right, exactly.
But then it becomes white.
Huh? Does?
It becomes white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you
it,
see
it crept
that?
Into the body of the crucified and emerged again, transformed from his mouth. It had become white.
Yes.
So the serpent.
So what else is going to happen to it?
Yeah.
Right?
And it becomes a diadem.
Oh boy.
Now maybe that's the old way. Then. The darkness gets swallowed by the light of Christ. And
well, I was thinking of alchemy. First it's Negredo, and then you get consumed with it, and it burns itself up, right? Mm-hmm. With the whole thing that becomes white?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Black. Right. But what he's doing, he's adding that to Christ. Mm-hmm. That he's adding the alchemical process that you just mentioned to Christ. Because the snake crawls in Christ.
Mm-hmm. That is different.
Yeah.
That's something very ancient, and I'm trying to remember where I've seen that before. The only thing I can think of is when the woman I went to Greece with, Union Analyst.
I know what you mean. Nancy Qualls.
Thank you. Nancy Qualls Corbett. We talked about that very issue, and I'll have to go back. and she had talked about that earlier in the trip, and so I'm going to reveal myself now. We had a party, the last night party, and they roped off an area and closed the curtains so that we could have some privacy. Unbeknownst to us, they were watching us. Mm-hmm. And so we're dancing at the end, and that image came to my mind. And I had a skirt on. And what I did, and there was we were dancing with a serpent, with a snake, with an artificial snake, not a real. I put it up my skirt and brought it out this way. And it was just such a powerful experience. And at that moment, the music stopped, they flew open the curtains, and they said, okay, party's over. So that is and I'll have to go back to Nancy's work, and because it's ancient. It's
well, it's certainly an Orphic ritual.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't remember which way they did it, but they were trying to simulate swallowing the snake, but they put it through their garb and then pulled it out. You know.
This was like it went inside
her
and then out her mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try to give you my sense and you can add or detract or contradict. That it's completing or fulfilling or adding to the traditional image of Christ, and it's adding alchemy to it. By alchemy, I mean that Christ becomes associated with a transformative process which he is about to explore inwardly. Something like that, I think.
So it's salvation through transformation.
Salvation through transformation. Where in Christianity, that's good, that's great, thank you. Where Christianity is salvation through transcendence. And so when you've got salvation through transformation, the cross becomes equilateral. When you've got salvation through transcendence, the cross the lower side of the cross is emphasized. And then the crucified point is higher.
With the Christian myth, it's living for the next life.
Yeah.
With a lot of religious myths. But with Jung's process, that's why the earth image is so important here. It's for a purpose on this earth,
yeah,
in time and space where you are.
Exactly.
And that's the equilateral.
Exactly right.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
And what did you mean when you said crucified point is higher?
Well, if you think of the cross,
right,
like this,
yeah,
the crucified point is higher from the ground,
right,
than if you put it like this.
Right.
So it emphasizes the transcendence,
okay,
where this brings it closer to the point between heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, the poles that are united, right?
Yeah, and balance. It's balanced. Yeah. That's the key. Mm-hmm.
When we did that, the snake, mm-hmm, that's over the edge of my mind, it's like the chakra. Exactly. And, mm-hmm, wow, that's your...
This was in Italy, or?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Catholic background. They couldn't take it.
Even in Greece, when you go to those temples, they just get very upset if you even look like you're going to do any kind of ritual. And they watch this like hawks.
In Italy too, huh?
Italy, yeah. Well, not so much Italy, but this was... we were going to these sacred shrines in Greece. And so they knew we were doing it.
Oh, so this happened in Greece, the snake. Yeah, I know, they're really kind of fussy about it.
They say they're not Catholic, but, you know, it's too ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of that feminine energy.
Okay.
The alchemical process.
Yeah.
As Edinger had it in that, in his book on the
Anatomy of the Psyche.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And isn't that process first negredo,
mm-hmm,
then albino, or is it red?
It varies, but you could go albedo. Negredo, albedo. Rubedo.
You need to have fire before you have
maybe it was black, red.
I think it is black. It is right. Black, red, white. Yeah.
Was there a fourth?
Gold, right?
Gold or yellow, yeah.
Because there's so much of that going on in the gold. And even that serpent swallowed. Comes out of the mouth, so it's going from the bottom up like you did, mm-hmm, not the other way, mm-hmm, like the orphan. Following the chakras.
I don't remember the orphic direction exactly, okay, but the idea of it transversing inside us, yeah. Okay, we're on 310, zooming right along. Number two, here I think this is straight dictation. And again, I'm just going to read a couple of sentences and compare this with that stuff before. I'm the sun, I'm great, I'm the hero. Go down, number two, four lines. It is at the side there. It is unclear. This is a great change. It is unclear how great one's humility must be to take it upon oneself to live one's own life. That is an absolute reversal of position. The disgust of whoever wants to enter into his own life can hardly be measured. I mean, again, compare that with Adolf Hitler's statements. I think you can hear some of that early power stuff in Jung's earlier pages. Aversion will sicken him, he makes himself vomit, his bowels pain him, and his brain sinks into lassitude. He would rather devise any trick to help him escape, since nothing matches the torment of one's own way.
Pain.
It seems impossibly difficult, so difficult that nearly anything seems preferable to this torment. Not a few choose even to love people for fear of themselves. I believe, too, that some commit a crime to pick a quarrel with themselves, therefore I cling to everything that obstructs my way to myself. He who goes to himself climbs down. Pathetic and ridiculous forms appeared to the greatest prophet who came before this time. So now he's tying this back into Christianity. But a different understanding of Christianity, of course. And these were the forms of his own essence. He did not accept them, but exercised them before others. Ultimately, however, and this is a phrase Jung uses all throughout his collected works, he was forced to celebrate a last supper with his own poverty and to accept these forms of his own essence out of compassion.
So you're saying this is a new understanding of Christianity?
Well, or maybe return to the original, depending on how you want to put it, but he suddenly brings in an image of Christ again.
A new way to look at Christianity?
Yeah. In other words, that and the phrase he uses, you have to celebrate a last supper with yourself. In other words, take those parts of yourself you don't want to accept and see what is sacred in them. So he's recasting the truth, but he's not throwing out the image.
So you're saying the unacceptable parts are the poverty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just finally got the nerve to watch the movie. I just got the nerve to watch the movie.
Dangerous Method.
Dangerous Method, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that scene where he is obviously very depressed, he's sitting by the lake, and Sabina comes, she's pregnant, she goes and talks to him. But that, for me, made me feel like he had to realize not only his poverty within, but his poverty because his wife had all the money. So there was a poverty inward and outward. I mean, mm-hmm. It feels like it was reflecting itself. And I swear to God, he had to be there when he wrote this.
But that movie has no historical basis. That's pure fantasy.
Some of it was, but some of it wasn't.
Well, I mean, that scene, that we don't know whether that ever happened.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
But some of the lines were very much his.
How do we know?
Because we read them all the time.
In the movie, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, have you seen
yes.
My Name Was Venus Bill
yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
That's the one I would take as more accurate.
Okay. What's the name of it? It's the one.
My Name Was Sabina Spielrein.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Where is that available?
Netflix has got it.
You were passing one around.
Yeah, it's probably floating around.
Right. You know what? I can't know again.
You might have it.
Because I think I can.
Oh.
I'll check it. I think, yeah. I think I got it
before
we broke for the summer.
Those parts of us that are unacceptable are living in poverty as well. If they are part of the whole of who we are and we've repressed them, pushed them down because mm-hmm. they are unacceptable to us, they are living the life of poverty and need to be brought to the table. I mean, that's just
mm-hmm.
and fed. Equally.
Now, as far as Jung's real poverty, I could see that all that power stuff was a reaction to being a poor boy. Mm-hmm. There I could go. Mm-hmm. And so when he's discovering his humility, which he didn't move into, I don't, you know, what he's giving us here, it took him a long time to move into. I don't think he moved into this stuff finally until he was almost 70. So he's laying out the course of his life. May have had to do with coming to terms with feeling inferior for being a poor boy. I told you a story about the tape I have of you speaking Basel German. Did I tell you that story? Then? I have a tape of Jung speaking Basel German to, I think it's a group of young psychiatrists, and it's obviously an older Jung, tell by the sound of his voice. And I have a friend who's from Basel, the one who reconfigured our pronunciation of Peter Bierkuser. And I told her that, and she said, "Well, I want to hear it." I said, "What's the big thing?" She's not particularly interested in psychology. And she said, "Well, there are two types of Basel German. There is the Basel German of the proper society, but Jung was raised on the wrong side of the tracks, and they speak what we might call like a Cockney Basel German. I want to hear which one he is speaking in the professional situation. What do you think he was speaking?"
The common.
Common Basel German. Mm-hmm. Now, it probably took him some work to get there. That would be like somebody we respect coming in here and talking with Alabama draw and being proud of it. So he may very well have indeed have worked through that shame of his background.
Can you play that for us in Saturday class?
I might have. I don't remember.
You played a news article. Somebody in the news during
the... But I think you played Jung speaking German once too, maybe.
I may have. Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
I'd love to get that thing translated, but I can't find anyone interested in it. So.
Well, I took his poverty thing that he didn't think it was good to succumb to his passion. His passion for Tony in particular, because it put him through a lot of suffering, both for Emma and himself. So that's how I took in, and Sabrina probably too. I mean, you know. So that's how I take poverty. Whenever we think we are succumbing to something less than what we should morally be able to withstand and overcome our desires, our passions, our lusts, you know, and if you don't, then you feel shame because you measure yourself based on the so-called best measurement of society.
Righteous standards, which nobody follows.
Well, yeah, which nobody follows anyway. So, but you do.
Yeah.
You can't help but do that. So that's how I took it.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, it may have several levels, but he was humiliated about doing that and felt...
And everybody knew it.
And everybody knew it. Everybody knew and looked down on him for it.
Yeah.
Still. Like
you wouldn't, your kids couldn't even tell it.
Yeah.
So, I was reading something just from, I can't remember where, but it was talking about the Last Supper and the idea that when the Jewish had the Last Supper, they also danced. And that's left out of the scripture about the idea of Jesus going to this crucifixion and celebrating that he's doing this thing that he thought he was supposed to do or something. And I'm over that person. Thank you.
I don't know. But what Jung is trying to do is recast that image in a different context. If you want a mass, go try to integrate yourself and face that the starting point is low. It may be your lowest is the same about from poor neighborhood. It could be the complications sexuality has led you into, or dumb decisions have led you into, or your undeveloped sides have led you into. But again, that's the starting point. I think that's what he's trying to get at. Again, remember, you might say, well, I know that. Sure, we know that now, but compare that with 20 pages ago. That's what we're dealing with, that development.
Don't you think it's interesting that first paragraph where he has a footnote 252 where he talks about the nature of the soul and when the soul appears as different things, it means something about the nature of the soul. And
well, I tried to skip that.
That's okay.
But we can go into it. No, I want to go where your energy is. You want to just summarize that for us?
Where are we?
We're at footnote 252 on page 310. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting that the soul speaks to Jung, and she talks about what it means when she appears in different forms. She says if she's not conjoined through the uniting of above and below, then she breaks down into three parts. The serpent, and in that or some other animal form, I roam living nature demonically, arousing fear and longing. And she says, the human soul living forever within you. The celestial soul as such, dwelling with the gods far from you and unknown to you, appearing in the form of a bird. And so Jung changes, I don't know what his third form is. So it's the serpent, the human soul. I'm not sure what his third form is, though.
The bird?
The bird, yeah. Yeah, that's form two, right?
Serpent, the bird.
The humanized form?
The human.
Yeah, maybe
form.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got confused there, too, because it's like the first soul, it says soul, the serpent, and the bird. Is that human, the human part of it? Mm-hmm. He's using the soul, mm-hmm. human part. And then he goes to celestial soul. So it's confusing to me.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I have seen, and it does follow things that have happened to me in dreams, because my granddaughter, the night before she was born, came to me in the form of a bird.
Wow.
And she alighted on my bed in the form of a blue and white celestial bird, and the bird wanted to be stroked, and I stroked it. Every time I looked away, like this, the bird transformed itself, and the last time I looked at it, it was my granddaughter.
Oh, my word.
At the age of two.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So she came to me in that form.
But you saw her as she was at the age of two before she was even born.
Right.
That's great.
But she appeared to me in that. It's just to read this here, that the soul has a bird form that's far from a celestial astral. It just goes right along with that dream experience.
Wow. Is it the bird that's speaking to him, that sits on his shoulder after the crucifixion, mm-hmm. and the serpent turns white and becomes a diadem? Then they talk about the bird sitting, the white bird that sat on my shoulder spoke to me.
Yes.
Is that the bird that's dictating all of this now?
No,
it's a very
top.
That top of 310, the first. Yeah.
So this is all dictated to him by his soul.
I'm real curious about the soul. Jung seems to view the soul as feminine, and there's some connection to the anima. How do you women see the soul?
Feminine. Also.
Mm-hmm. Mine's been feminine in my dream.
Black.
So connected to shadow sides too? Or just unknown sides?
I would say personally
my experience of the soul and its animal forms don't seem to really follow precisely the way he describes the animal form being a more demonic and fear and longing arousing aspect of the soul. I've experienced my animal forms more like the Native Americans describing the sort of guiding pieces of the psyche.
But they're soul figures.
But they're soul figures, right. So animals will come in and
represent the soul too.
Yes. Right. Like the other night I had a dream of little mice that were parts of a blossom of a tree. And they had the ability to move around that tree. But I knew they were forms of the soul, but the dream announced that they were part of the seven secrets of nature. Mm-hmm. I would say the lithos led me to that, actually. But yeah, I think you could widen his concept of the animal aspects of the soul, at least in my experience. And you know, in a lot of Native cultures, they have a wider animal experience of the soul than just the fear and longing aspect of it.
Well, this question came up Saturday, and one of the guys asked about what was Jung's definition of the soul, and I looked it up. It is absolutely incomprehensible in Volume 6. So I think it's open for discussion.
These are some pretty telling statements that he made
here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the simple truth is the soul is eternal. And he's trying to stay away from metaphysical statements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it.
Well, when it acts on you so personally, then you have to...
Well, your dream, for example, just shows the soul is beyond time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to stay within time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Also say as you work, as you're working with strangers, you should work with the figure and not
try
to figure out or label the figure.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it doesn't cause me problems. I don't think like that. I just take with whatever comes.
Mm-hmm. But Jung, at least at a certain point, was making some connection with an aspect of his femininity that was linked to his animal, it seems, which is a kind of a extra intrusion that males might experience more than women, possibly. It might be just more direct. The masculine in repressing some aspects of the feminine might weed out the animal figures and all the other things that might just be spontaneously part of the soul, the world soul image, available to women more readily than to men because of the repressed associations of the soul and the feminine, the she. You all basically feel the soul is feminine?
Mm-hmm. Or has anything? I've had animals, I know a person who's supposed to live kind of moments, but I don't really think of them as either male or female, or masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. But I know they're part of me. Okay.
Well, there's that dream that it might have been around this time, where Jung is visited by, I think he's with his daughter. Does anyone remember that? He's with his little daughter and a dove comes. I forget, how does that go?
There was a dream early in Red Book
Was it in the Red Book too?
There was a place in the Red Book when he was dealing with Elijah and Solomon where a dove came, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this was a dream.
There
was something about at midnight the dove flew away. And anyway, what he said, I'm pretty sure, was that was his anima, and that's why he decided to take up a physical relationship with Toni Wolff. That he felt she was what was bringing that soul to him.
I'll check that. That's in memories. I don't think he says in memories about Tony, and I don't remember where I read that. But might have been a Deidre Bear. Sometimes I think you can trust Deidre Bear, and sometimes I think you can't. But I'll check on that. Make myself a note. Okay. I don't know if we need to read all this, rest of this, but oh yes, maybe we do, because of the lion. And let me go on and read it. I'll allude to it, and then we'll come back. Start there. So we got this idea, right? The Last Supper with yourself, with what is problematic. But this enraged the mighty lion. See where I am? Who chased down the lost and restored it to the darkness of the depths. Now we get a footnote. How I understand that is our power complex doesn't like this. It doesn't like facing our humility. And that's what Nietzsche was struggling with.
But what does it mean then that the lion restores the lost things to the dead?
Yeah, but wait. But what happened to him? His way led him before the crucified, and he began to rage. He raged against the man of mockery and pain because the power of his own essence forced him to follow precisely this way as Christ had done before us. Yet he loudly proclaimed his power and greatness. No one speaks louder of his power and greatness than he from whom the earth disappears under his feet. So he makes the right step to begin to understand it, but he becomes so puffed up with his own importance that he loses the very thing he just established.
Nietzsche.
Yeah. Nietzsche, and I think Jung is saying, and am I in danger of this myself?
So that's what he means by the lion restores the lost things to the darkness, but then goes wrong.
Then goes wrong.
Okay.
No one speaks louder of his power. Because Nietzsche, what Jung said about Nietzsche is what he said was right. It just he happened to think everyone else had the problem with it instead of himself. So he lost the insights application to himself and got more and more self-righteous to his own destruction.
Again, Nietzsche thought everybody else was wrong.
Okay. Yeah, that these truths he had found, that he thinks, oh, I've already accomplished that. And everyone else has got the problem. But, in fact, he hadn't accomplished it. And so he kept screaming at other people to accomplish what he hadn't accomplished.
Which, for what you said, Jung is in mortal danger of falling into the same error because he hasn't really applied these to his life yet. He's got the insights.
Yeah.
He also has the advantage of seeing where Nietzsche went astray, perhaps at this point.
Exactly.
But he sees all these glorious truths, but he hasn't assimilated them.
Or he's reminding himself, buddy, you've seen these truths. Now you better
make good on.
Make good on. I think that's what's going on.
Or nobody, and also nobody's going to agree with me, Carl Jung, nobody's going to agree with me if I just blurt him out like Nietzsche did. I mean, I'm asking that question. Because Nietzsche isolated himself so much that he was going to agree.
Which is the last bit here. Yet he loudly proclaimed his power and greatness. No one speaks louder. Ultimately, the lowest in him got to him his incapacity and this crucified his spirit so that he himself, as he himself had predicted, his soul died before his body. That was a direct quote from Zarathustra. So we've got this huge shift from all that power Siegfried stuff to realizing what's important is my own way, but to do so I have to face my poverty, and I better do that because if I don't, my words will become like Nietzsche's, and I don't want to repeat that mistake. And he says many times, I avoided the error of Nietzsche by reading Nietzsche and saved my own life. Now again, remember, this is all, what he's saying is all second nature to us, but it wasn't at that time. Well, he continues in that vein, top of 310, I guess we better stop for today. How are we doing? Did we get through anything? Well, we got through a couple columns. That's about what I figured, 2 pages a meeting. Some of it may go faster. I had you read to 314. I don't think we'll get there, so I don't think you need to read anything else. You might just read over to, in case there's a miracle. Read over to 315, right before the historiated initial. Yeah, because a lot of it's just arguing. No, I think a lot of it, we can't, they're just arguing with each other.
Over to where, 16?
315, before the historiated initial. Well, yeah, why don't you go to 316? Before historiated initial 152. We might get through the magician, at least a page of it, kind of quickly. And welcome back.
Rust out of my brain.
Yeah, it took me a while to get back into it.
I looked at it and starting to study the basics like foreign language for a while.
Well, every time I start, I think, why in the world am I doing this? And then I get into it and think, God, this is the best stuff in the world. But it takes getting over an initial push.